Good morning.
Hi.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Who's on? Is this Kristen?
Good morning. It's Tracy, too.
Hi, Tracy.
And Ginger is joining now.
Okay.
Hello. John's going to walk in my office here in a moment.
Okay, terrific. Well, you know, the monthly calls are a riot. I really look forward to finding out what's going on with you guys.
Well, I do have a couple of updates for you, and then I actually have a question also, but I'll go over the updates first.
Okay.
So year to date on the new assets, we're at $19,300,000. And we set a goal of $20 million with a stretch goal of $25
million. Great.
So hopefully we'll – I think we did $22 million. Was that last year, Kristen? Does that sound right?
I think so.
Yeah. I can't remember if that was last year or the year before. And then new fee money is $6,750,000. And we really didn't have – a goal for that. We're just trying to be very conscious of keeping track of that, what we add. And then prospecting since our last call, John had two luncheons, where you do a table, sponsor a table. One was with the Morton Center here, and another was a Catholic education luncheon here. But he sponsored the table and then invited the guests, chose who was going to be at those tables.
Great.
So that was something, and I think they were back-to-back, weren't they, John?
Yes, they were back-to-back.
Still not in here yet. And then Center of Influences. John had the one that he seems to be having a monthly meeting with John Lucan, and then, which is an estate attorney for one of our larger clients, but we've also given him a couple of other. So he had a lunch with him. And then Butch Shaw, which is a CPA that one of our clients switched to, made the decision to switch to for their taxes this year. So we've had a meeting and conversations with him. But the other thing that I wanted to note, we're hitting the fourth quarter, we are in it, technically. And then we do in November and December all of our capital gain and charitable gifting, make sure all that's done and have those conversations with the clients and their CPA. So we'll be touching all of our CPAs several times in the next 2 months.
That's great.
So out of curiosity, is there anything that you see other teams that they do maybe a little differently with tax planning at the year end?
Well, I mean, it's pretty straightforward, right? I mean, everybody's got, you tell the client you got $350,000 in gains, you got $100,000 in losses that you haven't taken. How do you want to handle it, You've got, you can do the 30, you can do the buy now and 30 days later sell the original, or you can sell now and buy 30 days later, or you can do a tax swap, or,
right.
I'm right in that middle of that situation myself, trying to figure out what I should be doing.
So when your advisor does that with you, do they speak with your CPA as well so they know the recommendation?
Yeah, just so the CPA knows how, what that, let's say I take the $350,000 in gains, what's that going to do in terms of, my estimated taxes?
Mm-hmm.
That's more the situation for me. I pay quarterly, and then I retain a certain, if I get money back, I usually leave it in there. So it's part of my estimated taxes.
Right.
I'm always kind of juggling that so I don't have to get any penalty for not having enough estimated taxes.
Right. Well, and then the beginning of every year, we do a tax packet for majority of our clients where in March, usually, we send to the CPA for the client anything that we've done for them in 2019, whether it's the 1099, 1099R, updated realized gain and losses, gifting letter. We send all of that directly to their CPA for them. That's the other thing we do for tax planning. I didn't know if there was something different.
No, that's what my guys do. You know, that's where the agenda comes in, you know. What have we done versus what haven't we done? What else can we do? That kind of, you know, when you've got a fairly sophisticated client that's doing charitable giving, you know, for me, for example, I want to know where I am compared to where I should be in terms of my charitable giving, and how much of that is going to benefit me versus not. And as long as I go over, you know, I'm over the minimum, so my charitable giving works for me. You know, I have to do my...
You do it out of your IRA. Okay,
I do it out of my IRA, and then I do some more to, you know, to try and get myself a little bit of a tax break with it, too. Plus, you know, I've got some obligations that I've committed to over the years to different organizations. So I try and, you know, between that and my foundation, I take some of that out of my foundation, some of my required minimum distribution, and some stock gifting. Mm-hmm. And then it's just calculating, you know, with Supernova, that gives me some advantages. I can still take my mortgage deduction, but my taxes for Florida home are, that's where my residence is. I lost quite a bit against that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I think it's really important that you help the client to see, you know, where he still has a chance to be reasonably intelligent about his taxes versus where he's getting kind of slaughtered, you know?
Right. Well, so, I think the one thing that we have found, especially last year and this year, is the estimation of capital gains from mutual funds for clients. That's where I think we've had the most clients comment on. They appreciate, you know, knowing that information, because a lot of times that doesn't hit till December 26th. So, you know, towards the end of the year.
Right, and it can be a big, big, nasty surprise.
Right. So that's where there is a mutual fund company that provides us with a calculator. And it downloads every mutual fund, not just that mutual fund company. So it is really, that's the one thing I would say that. So that's where I think we can provide, you know, I think last year and this year we've provided more value, especially if we're able to avoid it.
What fund does that?
BlackRock.
Oh, that's nice.
Maybe you should talk to your advisor about that.
BlackRock does it for everybody? They do it for their
peers? Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Well, go through. They provided you a calculator, Tracy?
There's, on their website, I have access to a calculator. And it downloads. And, of course, what they do on this calculator is give you a suggestion of one of their exchange-traded funds you can go into in the meantime. That's what they're hoping you end up doing. But literally all mutual fund companies, they download all of the estimations from all of them into this calculator. And I can download a client's funds into it, and it will tell me what their estimated gains would be.
So Maybe you should have a talk with your advisor about that.
What would the exchange traded fund wouldn't do any good once you got the gain, though, right?
Well, if you get out of it before it pays, because there's a pay date of when that capital gain is going to hit, and if you exchange or sell it or exchange out of it prior to that date, you don't get the capital gain.
And it might be big enough that that would be worth
warranted.
It.
Huh? Mm-hmm. Yes, and there's some really, there's a couple of the funds this year that are paying 15% capital gains.
And you got $1 million or $2 million or something in that fund. That could be a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
anyway, what a lot of this does, and Tracy and Kristen have been doing this for a long time, this, you know, obviously helps the relationship with the client, but it also is one more contact point with their tax advisor, too.
I think it's really a good idea, guys.
Yeah, for the client that we had him switch CPAs, I think this will be probably the first time that he really gets a sense of, you know, what we do for the client.
Right. You guys do a lot. That's really good. You can't afford to do that with everybody if you know, with small clients, but you can with, you know.
Yeah.
You've got a small book of high net worth clients, and it's really good. Changes the game.
Oh, and there's just no surprises. And we've got a client coming in on Wednesday that there was a surprise last year with his gains.
Capital gains.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been all over that, and there's really, it was, I don't know if it was our fault, but I mean, it's just one of those things where it was unfortunate for him. And so we've spent a lot of time making sure that doesn't happen again this year.
And that was a mutual fund situation?
Yes. Yeah, he had a couple. He has a mutual fund, and he had a couple of them that didn't pay until later in the year, and they were, for the longest time, were pending. So even though we have access, if they don't release it, and they released it after they paid it, so there wasn't anything we can do about it. So,
got it.
Trying to meet with him earlier this year to see what we can do for him so he doesn't have any surprises.
Yeah, that's one of the, you know, it's one of the negatives, right, of mutual funds. It's,
mm-hmm.
But then again, you know, you can have money managers that you think, well, I want to be tax conscious, and all of a sudden you get, you know, $200,000 of gains from them. You know, it's like, wait
mm-hmm.
a minute,
mm-hmm.
I thought we were tax conscious, you know.
Yeah.
Well, we just fire them.
Anyway, so John, how is it? Oh, go ahead. Sorry, Chris.
No, go ahead. No, go ask your question.
I just want to, you know, if you're done, just see if, you know, get his, what's on his mind.
What's on my mind is trying to get to $25 million in money in the door this year.
Good goal.
That's the only thing that's on my mind.
How's it look?
I'm going to have to hustle. There's a chance I can get to 22. And 20 is usually the standard. And where are we, Kristen? 19 something?
19.3.
So I'm going to have to hustle.
Now, when you say hustle, what can you do?
I shake the trees a lot to find out what's going on. I don't know. I don't know, Tracy. What do? I don't know. She knows what I do. I'm always looking around trying to bring some new money in. You know, most people are happy with their advisors. The $3 million that I think that can come in because this client of ours has two other brokerage house relationships, and his advisor at Merrill Lynch left. So yeah, I know. I thought you'd be surprised. And so this is his second advisor at Merrill that has left, And he called me. The first question was, when are you going to retire? That's what he asked me. And then, you know, as we got into the conversation, you know, I just said, well, they're just going to pick somebody and give their account to you, and then you've got to start all over again. Why don't you move the stuff? So it's an ongoing conversation. I don't know. Tracy, you think I can get him to move?
That one I think you can.
Okay.
He's been through enough moves at Merrill Lynch.
Yeah, and both of his folks left Merrill and went to, one of them left 5 years ago, 5 years ago, and went to Raymond James, and this one just left and went to Raymond James.
Huh.
So, you know, it may take a little bit, but I'm going to see if I can't get him. And that's three, so that would put me over the, you know, the bottom rung. And then I just have to, you know, find some more money before the end of the year.
Well, you got to convince him that you're not going to retire. And the other thing is convince him that you have a team that's not going to retire, you know, with Tracy and Christian.
Yeah.
And,
well, I think for him, it's, you know, then I'm not going anywhere.
Right.
Because
the advisory
he had at a regional firm here, yeah, go ahead, Tracy, left. And so he got assigned these other folks. And then Hilliard's got bought by Baird. And, you know, just on and on and on. So anyway, we just need to be the consistent force.
So who
here.
Does, I mean, part of the trap that Merrill gets you into is all the services, right?
Right.
And so you got to make it clear that is all. I just go item by item and make sure you can duplicate everything that he has now. And then, and by doing that, you'll ease his mind that he's not going to, you know, lose something that he values.
Here's the situation. He likes individual stocks. He's a urologist.
Yeah.
Yep. And so he's going to work for another 4 or 5 more years. He'll love this. He's 61 years old. He got divorced, got remarried. He's got twin 7-year-olds.
Oh, God.
Yeah, but he has shared with me what his goal is. His goal is to have, what did he tell me, $11 million. And he's got 9 now.
Okay.
So, you know, so he shared that with me. Once he got to the Hilliard Lyons folks, they wanted him to bring in all his statements and do a financial plan and do all that kind of stuff. He really didn't want to do that. I'm not sure whether he did it or not. But every Monday, he and I talk very consistently. I just sent him a text this morning, and he'll call me later this afternoon when he's got a break. And I'll just gently prod. He used to be my tennis partner, so I know sort of the personality there. He doesn't like, you know, too heavy stuff, but you just sort of poke and poke and poke. And I called the regional guy at Draymond James, who used to be the head of the Merrill Lynch office here, and once he got reassigned, I said, what do you got there? And he said, oh, that's a joke. So I let him know that. So I'll just keep pushing away, and that'll get me to 22, and then I'll just figure out a way to get the last $3 million in this year. Will you be happy then, Kristen?
Yes.
Okay, there you go.
That's
so
awesome.
You know, we've been doing a nice job, I think, of staying in touch with centers of influence, and, you know, just having things go on. Kristen's been keeping me very busy, and, you know, quite honestly, the market's sure has helped. With the other part is, you know, unless you have a change like that with people leaving, everybody is probably pretty content with their advisor.
Yeah.
So there has to be a shift like that. And I think I see one other shift that should get me another $2 million. And I think that hopefully that'll happen by the end of the year.
Awesome. How are you using is the pipeline tool still working? What's going on there?
Kristen?
We have our Friday emails that we keep track of those clients and prospects in the pipeline.
Yeah, and you've seen that, and I've you know, I update it, delete things like that, just to keep, you know, keep it fresh and keep it moving along.
Right.
But every Monday or every other Monday, Kristen sends it out on Friday, and I'll go over it and say, well, this is going to happen, or this is not going to happen, or here's a referral that's, you know, that's not going to work, and just keep it fresh. You know how the old Merrill days, you used to think if you had a lot of accounts, it was like having a warm blanket around you, and it would be great because everything would be okay. You just constantly update those people. Either they're going to work or they're not going to work. I had went to lunch with a client who brought a friend of hers. She wanted us to meet. She'd been to one of the seminars. You know, after lunch, it just wasn't a good fit. So she's off the list, and, you know, move on. I don't want that comfort of thinking we've got these people out there that that we're, you know, we're going to be potential clients if they're not going to fit into what we do.
No, that's really important. And the more visible that is, and the more you look at it, obviously, you guys look at it all the time, the better it works. If it gets dust on it, then it's not, you know, not good.
Remember the prospect cards you used to have at Merrill Lynch, those blue cards?
Oh, yeah.
I used to cold call, and I'd hold the card over the garbage can. And I would say, you know, give me an excuse not to throw your card away. Because it's not everybody's going to be, you know, the good client. And our business, especially as we worked on this, they're going to have to come in because there's a chance if somebody comes in, somebody's going to have to go out next year.
Well, that's right. No, that's exactly right. And that's the way you just stay diligent about it.
Yeah.
So what in the Supernova system is working and what isn't working?
What is working and what isn't working within Supernova?
Yes.
In regards to the scheduling, I think what we struggle with is the monthly calls and the topic.
Yeah.
We do have a 24-month calendar, but we really haven't adhered to that. So I would say that's the struggle. That's not, you know, that's not what's working, I guess. But I would say we've, with a good portion of our clients, we've hit, like, we're getting ready or have hit their second meeting of the year face-to-face. And we're hearing, you know, good feedback. Like, we had one today where he does like the Supernova. And the one he gave us a suggestion for the in-phase meetings. He would like just a brief, here's the agenda items before he walks in the door. So that he can kind of at least know what we're going to talk about.
So you guys don't give him an agenda ahead of time?
Not for the in-person meeting. Not for everybody. We have some clients request it, like Keith, so we'll make a note of that. But other clients, they just don't. We have found we do it, and they don't review it.
So would your suggestion be to ask the clients if they would like it?
No. I would give it to everyone. And if they don't review it, no problem.
Okay.
See, you got to become ritualized so you don't mess around, don't mess up somebody like this guy. Because if you have to remember who gets one and who doesn't get one, then that's more brain, you know, you're using up unnecessarily brain space. You want to just do it. Because then the agenda helps you. And then when you present the agenda to him, it makes you think about it, and then when it's there in front of you, you're thinking about it again. If you don't do it, if you don't send it to them, I mean, just think about it. I mean, they may not say they review it, but they may look at it. Here's one of the most important things. Clients leave for several reasons. One of them is that the FA doesn't know who I am, and we take care of that with a financial plan. And the 12-4-2s. the client doesn't, the FA doesn't listen to me. Okay? They don't value my opinion. We do that by sending them an agenda, and at the bottom of the agenda, we ask for their feedback. If you have something you'd like to add to this agenda, please add it. That says we value your opinion. We value you. We hear you. So
we do that for all of the quarterly review calls, where we email them the agenda ahead of time. It's also our confirmation email. And do ask if there's anything else that they would like to discuss, please let us know. So we do that for the quarterly review calls. So we'll start doing that for the in-person as well. Do you do emails?
Yeah. You email the agenda. So it's all email.
Okay.
Now, one of the things that you can ask, you know, just get used to at the bottom of the agenda, especially in the in-person meetings, asking the questions, you know, just like I said, what's working and what's not working? What is it that, you know, what are the three things that you value the most from what we've been doing in the last year with you? And then, are there any suggestions that you might have on how we might work better together?
Okay.
Just, you're always looking for feedback, right? And you, just like I am, I mean, I need to know what works and what doesn't work. And then I've got to push you in the direction of what seems to work best for the most people and create the best environment for the client. Always think about this is a completely client-centered process. Even though it's inconvenient for us, it's a pain for us, it really makes the client's experience spectacular. Think about the companies and the, you know, when you've been in that situation where you knew that the people associated with your experience were completely committed to making your experience extraordinary. It had nothing to do with anybody else. Each person had really gone over the edge and had become committed themselves. And you can remember those situations, and they're unique. And that's the way you want to be. Now, you can't be that for 300 people, but you can for 70. You know, and that's what we're trying to create here, is that unique experience.
Okay.
All right.
That.
You see what I'm saying? So it just
yeah.
And that, of course, when you reiterate that, and here's one more thing: make sure in your folders you're using the introductions given and introductions received, part of the folder. And that when you're, and then putting down the date that you received the introduction, and then queuing that on your Outlook to call them a year later and just thank them for the introduction. And then, of course, thank the client for the confidence they had in you. Those are two opportunities to get more introductions without asking.
Okay.
That just may not have been something that you got around to, or if you're using it, let me know. Are you using it?
It's in our, it's in there, but, and we introduce it, but we don't use it like that at all, which we need to.
It's just it's one of those brilliant moments where you just go, whoa, why didn't I think of that sooner?
Mm-hmm.
It really is an opportunity. You think, oh, God, I got another phone call to make. No, don't think about it that way. Think about, you made three people happy, you know, with with the phone call and with the introduction. You've got three people that are happy. The person that introduced you, the client, and you. So just memorializing that and celebrating that every year, you know, you got a chance to make three people happy again just remembering it. And guess what? That means there's a reasonable probability that that person wants to make two more people happy, right? You and the client and the new prospect.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as the situation has gone well, why wouldn't you do that? You know, if you're a center of influence or a person, anybody that referred, why wouldn't you want to continue that as long as nobody was harmed and actually people ended up really happy?
Right.
So you just, what you're doing is just giving, reminding them of what they did that made them happy and giving them the opportunity to be happy again.
Okay.
Okay. And what you have to do though, you got to put it on your Outlook to remember. Because you won't do it from the folder.
No.
I don't think.
Yeah. No, I agree. We have to put an alert.
Yeah, you got to put the alert in.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
I used to take my FAs out to lunch on the anniversary of their joining the firm every year. Now, you know, I'd let other people take them out for their birthdays because everybody
yeah.
knew about that. But I was the only one as the manager who cared about their anniversary, right?
Right, yeah.
Huh. And then all of a sudden you get to a 20-year anniversary and it's a big deal and I'm remembering it. And guess what? You miss somebody's 20th anniversary. It's a big deal. They get mad.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you call them and say, you know, it's been 20 years since you introduced me to that guy. I had a guy call me every year and thank me for hiring him on the date that he was hired. Every year until he retired. Every single year, no matter where I was, even when I retired. Think about how nice that was, right?
That is nice. Yeah.
I know. So anyway, we've been really working on this idea of just being a connector, that when we think about our jobs as, you know, being as helping other people, connecting them, you know, getting introductions from centers of influence, creating mastermind groups, the overall our overarching concept is to be a connector, a serial connector, a crazy person that just connects anybody and anyone that he thinks will help them to have a better life. It kind of relieves you of the burden of having to make something of it, you know. If you're just a serial connector, all you do is connect people, and that's what you do for a living, and you love it. So you don't have to account for your time and your effort and et cetera. You just do it. I think it kind of frees you up to be happier in this prospecting world, and it's a very healthy thing. Because giving is the single most important thing in terms of, it's interesting, it's the most universal value that there is. Adam Grant in his book, Give and Take, talked about a study that was done with 70 different countries. And the one universal value that is everywhere is the idea of giving and helping and making somebody else's life better. And so by being a serial connector, you'll make yourself happier, which makes you feel better. And when we're happy and feel good, then obviously we do better, right? When we're miserable, we're not ready to expand our practice. When we're happy, We want to work. We want to do more. So it's just kind of an attitude and a concept that I think is kind of permeates everything that we do in, or at least we espouse in the Supernova multiplier model. Comments on that?
You kind of hit on something, and I'm going to preference this by saying John had to leave for a meeting, so he's not here. So you kind of hit on something when you say about happier coming into work. One of the things, John is very free. He doesn't like structure, and he likes to say he likes it because he likes to be for all of us to have structure. But one of the things that I would say we're struggling with right now is him staying with the process and not trying to divert it because he wants something, because he likes change. He doesn't like anything to be the same.
That's like the opposite of most people.
He's the opposite of that. And I guess that's why we work, meaning because Kristen and I are different. We like processes. We like to feel like we're being efficient. And he likes change. He doesn't like things to always be the same. He feels that's boring, you know. Obviously he's smart enough with the realization that you need processes and you need to have things in place, but he gets bored. And I think the Supernova scheduling and doing I might be putting words in his mouth, and once again, he's not here, but I'm looking for some advice of how I can continue to challenge him where he's not wanting to change the processes.
Okay, so what does he do? How does he cheat?
Well, let's use the monthly calls, because I've already said that's the one thing we're not using. He is always going over performance with the client, asset allocation, the market. He's not ever, if we are, this month we're supposed to be talking Social Security and Medicare and requesting their statements, or, it's not being done. Preparing before a meeting, he will give us his preparation, but it's not really a full, review. Like the one that we had this morning, his preparation was want to have a lunch meeting with him and his wife to bring in her Charles Schwab account. That was his agenda for the meeting I had this morning.
With a client.
So, of course, I created the agenda, and we had an agenda, and we went over it. But that was his saying that he went, reviewed it, and that was his agenda.
Okay, so he's totally focused on acquisition.
He's focused on acquisition when it comes from existing clients. Yes, I will say that, from existing clients.
Yeah. And that's, it's okay. It's okay. Tracy, you gotta be that other half.
Okay.
So half of his brain works. Okay, the other half doesn't want to work.
Right.
The financial planning, let's talk about beneficiaries, let's talk about long-term care. Let's talk about your life. He will get into it, but he doesn't. It isn't where his brain wants to go.
No, he's skimming the top as he even gets into it. You're right. Yeah.
Okay. So that's why you guys, so how often do you guys meet as a team with a client then? Pretty much all the time?
As a team? John and I would say, Kristen, I'm going to look for you to come. I would say half of our clients, John and I do
twice a year a meeting with where both of us are involved.
Correct.
Yeah, yeah. The other half of our book were our individual meetings, like John meets them with them or I meet with them.
All right, so how about you? You meet with any client? You have your own clients, though, right?
I do, uh-huh.
Okay. And do clients tend to indicate one way or the other who they want to spend their time with?
I'm going to let Kristen answer that only because I'm one of the advisors, so I feel like I'm kind of biased. So
I would say no, except there's handfuls that do, you know. But majority of them have been separated out, John and Tracy. As Tracy and John have reviewed the list and said, oh, this is mine, this is yours. But there are occasional ones that do tend to go one direction versus the other one.
And I would say those, and this is my opinion, are ones that we majority meet together with. If it's one that, you know, has somewhat indicated just because of their personality or what's maybe going on in their life, you know, they'll inquire, well, is, like, for example, is Tracy going to be there because I need to look at my financial plan? You know, those type of comments will be made.
And I would say there's a handful that have said, I'd prefer to work with Tracy over the years,
well,
you know, that's kind of came out. And then there's some that just gravitate towards John, that John is the main contact.
Some of that is, a lot of it, I would say, in my opinion, is personality.
Yes.
Right, right. Okay, so this is not unusual, okay? This is all fine.
Okay.
That's why you have a team, right?
Right.
If you were both exactly the same, you wouldn't be good for each other. This is better because he's your kind of your alter ego. He's much more interested in acquisition, at least it sounds like, and much more, you're more interested in making sure that the financial plan gets done, the client gets their goals achieved, et cetera. Less market-based, more client-based.
I would agree with that assessment.
My team is just exactly the same. This happens to be male, female, same kind of thing. Kim is who I meet with most of the time, is financial planning, agenda, follows through, you know, everything I need done, she gets done. She was a bond gal. That's what she knows. Not so much on the equity side, but, you know, fine. She knows it. But Trent is the guy that has got the knowledge of the market. So I want to meet with Trent maybe a couple times a year, but otherwise Kim kind of takes care of things. And, you know, fabulous sales assistant. And so I'm, you know, I'm perfectly happy paying my fee because they do so much for me.
Mm-hmm.
My contention is if we don't have that going on where there is that wonderful relationship, as time goes on, those fees are going to get more of a burden to clients.
Right.
And they're going to. And so it can't be just about performance or just about the market.
Right.
Got to really.
Yeah, the way I said it to John is the client is no longer going to see value in our supernova process if all we're doing is saying the same thing 12 months out of the year.
So it may be that you take on more of those, some of those calls.
Mm-hmm.
And John works harder on acquisition. I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, that's something that I would consider because you're absolutely right. I mean, when you get into beneficiaries and you find a beneficiary and an annuity or a life insurance policy that is still in the name of the old wife or something.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's look at that doctor he was just talking about, right? Brand new.
Right.
New wife, new kids, new twins, whatever. What if there's something that back in the history and he's got, you know, her still as a beneficiary, the old wife.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the kind of stuff that just would make somebody crazy if they found out about it.
Right.
And,
right.
And you know, that's what we're here for. You know, when you do estate planning and then you don't, how many times do you see when you do a review of somebody, they've done the estate planning, but they haven't retitled the securities?
Oh, yeah. You,
they're still in joint
a
name,
lot.
Right?
More than I'd like to say happen.
Yeah. No, it's true. And
it
so
is.
That,
yeah.
That's why, you know, I'm such a huge believer in the process. So,
I guess I'm just looking for some encouragement because I feel like, and I'm sure Kristen does too. Not, I don't mean to exclude you, Ginger, but we get the brunt of his, you know, dissatisfaction or his anxiousness or boredom. I just feel like I'm beating my head up against the wall these last couple of months, and I don't want to make him. I don't want to make him angry. It's a fine line. You know what I'm saying? And I don't want to be a tattletale because he would be, I'm sure he wouldn't be happy with me right now. So if this is being recorded, can you stop it after 11:30?
He won't listen to it anyway, will he?
We don't know.
I don't think he does, but I don't think he has ever listened to one, but I don't know that for a fact. But
I would say, so there's a little bit of ADD there then. Am I hearing that?
I would agree with that, yes. That's a great way to put it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm ADD, and I'm bright, shiny objects, and I get bored, and I don't want to do the same thing, and so on. So
I mean, that's been very successful for him. He's been very successful for him.
That's why he's successful. I mean, it just... You know, it's you celebrate the strength. You don't try and make the person change. Okay? You make them do more of what they're good at, and you cover for the other things.
Okay.
So you guys just figure it out. Just reallocate time and 12-4-2s and things. And you do the 24-month calendar and try and get him to do it and show him the benefits of it. But don't, don't make it so that he's the bad guy and you're the good guy. It's different. You celebrate the difference.
Okay.
But you put some, you can, if you're going to cover for him there, then you put the hammer down on him to make sure he's spending the time on acquisition. Okay?
Right.
Okay, so it's this is not the first time this has happened, if you can imagine.
That's why I'm bringing it up, because I'm sure you've had this many times before.
This is the part that I never get to hear about, and then all of a sudden I find out people aren't doing 12-4-2 anymore. And it's like, wait a minute, what happened?
No.
You know, you missed.
Yeah, we're still doing the 12-4-2, but it's becoming very... I would say the last 2 months specifically, and I'm looking for affirmation from the two outside of my office because I have glass so I can see them. I would say the last 2 months has been very difficult to keep him on track. He understands the importance of having a process. And I mean, he does, otherwise he wouldn't keep looking for it. He just can't, it just gets to him too quickly. So I've already kind of started a little bit of the groundwork with him a couple of weeks ago where I was like, well, I'm kind of reevaluating and looking at our clients and making sure like we're in front of the ones we should be in front of together and the ones that, you know, we're not. It's correct. And it's like the goal is to make sure you're in front of the clients that we know have money outside of here or we know have given us introductions because we need to make sure you have plenty of time for, you know, bringing in the money. So I've already kind of laid that groundwork down. So I think what I might try is proposing that the month of November I do all the monthly calls so that he can get us to our $25 million stretch goal.
I think November and December both. And as we're doing the realized gain and losses, that would make sense and not look obvious.
Yeah. What do you think about that, Bob?
I think it's brilliant.
Bob?
You know, go ahead and use this idea of the introductions given and received, because I bet you can go back and create some of that, and then make that an important call that he makes. If he understands that it'll actually generate introductions, he will do it.
Mm-hmm.
He won't like doing it initially, but if he does it and thanks the people for it, and they give him another introduction, he'll think it's genius. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So you got to get him enough activities that'll make him feel like he's busy, but not jammed by a
calendar. Not busy work. I think he views preparing for meetings as busy work.
Right. Oh, of course he does. So do I. But it's, if I don't prepare, then I can't remember what I did. If I don't say, okay, here's our homework for the next time, and then I look at it and see what. So here's another thing.
Mm-hmm.
When you have the executive summary on each call, then there should be who's responsible and what is the date by when it's going to get done.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And that will mean accountability on everybody's side, because sometimes you have trouble getting clients to meet with their state planning attorney or get some documents or do this or do that. And by giving them the responsibility of it and then putting a date down, it'll do that. But for John, it means, okay, I promised I'd do this, and I have to have it done by the next call. So that, to me, then makes it not just a phone call, which means he's not doing anything, you know?
Right.
So we gotta know what it is to move the client down the path, which is going to generate more revenues, and that will make him stay more engaged.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Perfect. As usual, Rob, I appreciate your advice.
Well, teams are great. And remember, if you get stuck, the book, the Supernova Teams, is a great book to go to.
Mm-hmm.
As we talk about all these issues and give you a lot of good ideas. So you might recommend that for the whole team to listen to, along with the multiplier. Because look, at the game is maximum utilization of everybody's talents, leveraging the teams, and focus and increasing productivity. So if we can do that, and he can bring in, 10 million more or 5 million more, everybody wins, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then, if you can, make it so that clients love you and give you another two introductions, everybody wins there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just everybody's working on the whole game, but you've got to follow through on the attention to detail things, or the clients aren't happy. I'll give you an example.
Right.
We have a pretty fixed agenda on my and they sent me the last agenda, and it was fine, except there were like five things that had changed since the last agenda that they hadn't changed. I moved to Nashville, and they still had my, they referenced Indiana and this and that. And so you've got to, every once in a while, you've got to look at the agenda and make sure it's up, it's current. What's happened? Because there'll be just like three or four things on the agenda will change, right? Because they're, everything else stays pretty much the same. So it's just one.
I will say, with our meetings, we try to review our operational things like that. Like, for example, Ginger has a list that reviews all of those type of items. And then she provides that operational checklist to Tracy and I to review and prepare for the next client meeting. And, for example, we have a client, we're like, is he retired? Is he not retired? Last we heard, he was consulting. So it reminded us, we need to look at that.
mm-hmm.
closer in asking.
Of course, yeah. Yeah, lots of things happen, right? And did he create a subchapter S corporation, or what? You know, is he still working on that? Is he... Anyway, no, it's fun. It's fun. If sometimes you want to go through the agenda items and how you create, you know, for wealthy people, how you create a really helpful agenda. I'd be interested in what you do and the things that I recommend. Maybe we can do that on the next call.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Sounds good.
All right. Good, guys. Congratulations. And look forward to our next call. Thanks.
All right. Thank you so much, Rob.
Thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.